When I say risk, what do you think about? Is that jumping from an airplane? Snow skiing? Bungee jumping? Well, each of these is definitely a risk, but risk can be a whole lot more. Have you ever thought about the risk of going to work, opening or closing a building? Risk to yourself, risk to others. There are hundreds of these risks hidden in our everyday lives. And a great way to explore these is through the people who work to manage these risks every day. That's why we chose the name, Everyday Risk, to emphasize the hidden nature of these risks and speak with different experts on the ways we can manage them. Join me, Larry Pope, and my co-host, Lucas Bonestell, as we talk with the best and brightest about their work, the risks they see, and how we might manage them.
I'm looking forward to our conversation today. We have two different speakers. We have Rick Detman with Suncorp Valuation, and then we have Zach Soba, who's a property specialist at our Lockton Kansas City office. And we're going to talk today about property and equipment valuations. And it's just a major topic right now because of the hard property market that we're in. And just wanted to share with our listeners some of the conversations and thoughts they should be having regarding property valuations, equipment valuations, and hopefully this podcast today just kind of brings to light some of the need or want to just be sure that they have the valuations that they need when developing their statement of values for the insurance program. So with that, Larry, tell us a little bit about our presenter, Rick Detman, today, please.
Rick is with Suncorp Valuations. He's been a certified real estate machinery equipment appraiser for about 20 years. He's completed valuations for insurance proof of loss, as well as purchase price allocation and asset-based lending. He's been all over North America, Europe, and Asia. And some of the occupancies he's valued, I mean, shopping malls, high-rise offices, buildings, hospitals, foundries, food processing, manufacturer, chemical processing, a little bit of everything. I think he's going to bring some experience into this formal property appraisal for us.
All right, let's get to it.
Rick, awesome. Welcome to the show today, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, can we just start off with what it means when the insurance industry talks about building and contents appraisals and why we need valuations?
An insurance appraisal is defined as the art and science of estimating the insurable cost or value of a property at a specific location as of a specific date. It also includes utilizing one of three appropriate value definitions for insurance purposes, such as replacement cost new, cost of reproduction new, and actual cash value.
Got it. So why do we need an insurance appraisal, Rick? Tell us.
You know, it's an important component of an overall risk management program. So when we think of risk management, we think of property loss risks, such as fire, floods, snowstorms, quakes, and wind damage. And unfortunately, property losses occur with regularity, and our experience has shown that on average, lost property was 20 to 40% underinsured. This creates a question of how the values of the lost properties were determined. For instance, were the property values developed using the correct premise of value, in effect replacement cost new, cost of reproduction new, or actual cash value? Were all locations, buildings, and contents considered? Were installation, indirect, and soft costs included in their analysis? Oftentimes, property owners may use historic purchase cost or net book value from their accounting ledger, or even the cost of assets that were purchased used, and really none of these sources are correct for insurance purposes.
Rick, how would someone know that they need an insurance appraisal? I mean, with that, are they all the same, or is there some difference there?
Well, thank you, Larry, for asking that. Construction costs for buildings change on a consistent basis, and they can change more rapidly in various geographic markets. Equipment replacement costs change consistently, and they change more rapidly in different industries where you'll see greater demand. We recommend that if a property owner has not had an insurance appraisal for 4 to 5 years or more, that they consider getting their property's values up to date to make sure that in the event of a loss, their properties will be insured to value.
How are all insurance appraisals approached? Is it the same? Do they approach the appraisals differently? How do the people look at that?
If we're valuing a modern warehouse building, we will likely use a replacement cost new approach, which is defined as the modern equivalent, constructed with modern materials and design standards similar to the original asset, And if we're appraising an historic hotel, government building, or religious structure, we could use the cost of reproduction new approach, which is defined as replicating a structure in like kind at one time with like kind materials, labor, and design techniques.
Now, with that, can appraisal approaches change? I mean, depending on a location?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they can. Location considerations such as geography do play a role. So if a property is constructed in an area of unsatisfactory soil conditions, it may necessitate structural reinforcements such as caissons. Or if a property is in a seismic zone, it may require seismic reinforcement. In addition, if a property is located in a metropolitan area, there might be construction worker restrictions as well.
So, Rick, that's all great information. Thank you for sharing that with us. So I guess let's dive deep right here, and listeners, stick with us. But tell us how this process works, man.
Okay, I can review our process in phases. First, there is the proposal and project estimating phase. So initially, it is very helpful if we can get a good statement of values to understand the possible scope of work for estimating a project. The statement of values will also provide us with helpful information such as a company name, geographic address, building occupancies, total square foot area, and current estimated values allocated by address for buildings and equipment. Knowing that we will have architectural drawings and a fixed listing available during the evaluation will also be very helpful. Having this information will assist us to correctly estimate a fee for our appraisal service. The next phase is obtaining project information that will be useful for an appraiser during the appraisal process. Obtaining architectural drawings such as floor plans and elevation views help us to verify gross square foot and building areas. Process and instrumentation diagrams also are very useful for appraising process-related facilities. Asset listings, also known as depreciation schedules, are also very helpful. Other lists that will be helpful include IT and computer equipment lists, unlicensed forklifts and mobile equipment lists, tank listings, and for a hospital, a good biomedical equipment listing, ideally by building and department.
So that's all stuff that the client should have, right? So that's good information right there, nothing too tough. So I guess tell us what's the next steps after you guys are engaged to value a property.
We'll meet with our client on a brief pre-engagement call. We then schedule a mutually agreeable time for our site inspection. And as previously mentioned, we will gather useful drawings and lists if available in advance or during our visit. We will complete a brief overview tour and work with management to determine where in the facility it will be best for us to start our inspection. We can work either independently or with a property contact if required to do so for safety purposes. For building valuations, we will follow a top-down approach inspection process, essentially beginning at the top of a building and working our way down on a floor-by-floor basis. For contents valuation purposes, we will provide an inventory and replacement cost on a floor-by-floor basis. After our inspection, our next step will be to call vendors and manufacturers to determine current replacement costs for equipment, and we will also verify our per-square-foot building replacement costs with local construction contractors. Our report turnaround time will usually be 4 to 6 weeks from the last day of our inspection, depending upon the size of the facility.
Perfect. So 4 to 6 weeks, you get your report based on the size. So that's, Larry and I like to ask tricky questions. So that's going to be my next tricky question for you is, how long does it actually take?
Okay.
Meaning the inspection.
Sure. An example of time on site for, say, 100,000 square foot manufacturing facility could be an hour or two for a building-only valuation, or a half a day to a little over a day, depending on how much equipment is within a plant. Typically, if we think it will take more than a week to inspect a property, we will have more than one appraiser on the project to make sure we are out of a facility as expeditiously as possible.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, it's got to be tough to truly understand unless you dive into what that time is going to take. But let's talk about a formal appraisal compared to a computer-based valuation program, because in our insurance industry, we have the ability to just run a computer-based program. So tell us the difference, if you don't mind, in between those.
Computer-based programs are used for simple structures, and they they do not really consider the differences in more sophisticated buildings such as high-rise office buildings, hospitals, casinos, data centers, and manufacturing properties, and for sure those properties that have more innate features to them.
So our listeners know that you work for Suncor, and do you guys are evaluation, you know, business, right? So this is our selling point. So tell us what the benefits of a formal insurance appraisal are.
Yeah, what's in it for me on this, Rick? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Rick, it's always got to be about Larry. Remember that. What's in it for him?
Yeah, I didn't know it is. I want my whiff him. What's in it for me, man?
There you go. I like that, guys. Okay, some of the benefits include helping to avoid a co-insurance penalty for an underinsured loss, and also it reduces the risk of paying too much premium for being overinsured. It provides a very detailed and accurate listing of insured assets on a building-by-building and floor-by-floor basis. It correctly classes property as building or equipment, which will assist for underwriting purposes. And it transfers the risk of having correct values to the appraisal firm. It also brings a comfort and peace of mind to all properties as they have an accurate assessment of their property's replacement cost. And it assists to avoid litigation costs in the event of a loss claim dispute. And it also creates a very good basis for a cost-effective and annual update program.
All right. So got a quick elevator speech. And we just went through a lot of information in a short period of time, Rick. And you used a lot of big words, and we're obviously very well prepared. So give me the elevator speech. You run into me in the elevator, and you need to tell me real quickly why I ought to get this done. Give me your elevator real quick.
Getting correct insurance values can mean the difference between having the necessary resources to continue operations after a loss or discontinuing future operations, creating a loss of value for owners, jobs for employees, and future developments that could positively benefit a society.
Rick, in doing this, you obviously have an organization you work with. You work with Suncor. Could you tell us about Suncor real quick, kind of wrap us up?
Sure. Thanks, Larry. Suncor Valuations has been in business since 1960. We offer valuations for insurance, purchase price allocation, and asset-based lending. We complete over 2,500 valuations each year throughout the globe. We value buildings, land improvements, and machinery and other equipment. We are one of only a few valuation firms worldwide that have been selected by two of the largest insurance companies as a preferred provider of valuation services for their clients. Over 60% of our valuations are performed for insurance purposes. We would like to be a no-obligation resource for you and your team. Please contact me anytime on my cell phone at 414-412-3097. Or email me at rick.dotman@suncorpvaluations.com. Thank you, Lucas and Laura. Your time today has been very much appreciated.
Thanks. Yes, that's awesome, Rick. That is a ton of great information. You know, we got deep, which is great. So I think this is something that, you know, listeners might have to listen once or twice through, but it is such good value, especially in our hard property market right now. This could really bring a lot to the table. So thank you so much, Rick, for coming on the show today and speaking with our guests.
Thank you.
Hey, Lucas, you want to tell us a little bit about Zach?
Absolutely. Zach Soba has been at Lockton for 11 years and leads our property group in Kansas City. He's been focused on the property side of things for the last 7 years and is most often engaged on classes of business with more challenging fire protection needs. So he's a big advocate for us on the property side. So here we go.
Hey, Zach, I'm not a property guy, so I'm not always the smartest on property things. So tell me, I mean, when do clients need appraisals and why?
Yeah, Larry. So when we're looking at some of our property clients and working on putting together a submission into the marketplace to look for the proper property coverage for the client, the base of property insurance is really rate times value. That's what you'll hear the casualty guys like yourself always joke with us property guys. Very simple rate times value guys. And in that realm and in that kind of equation, value is an important piece. Clients many times look at their buildings or facilities, and maybe they built it, maybe they purchased it, maybe it came from an acquisition previously, but one of the very most consistent things we see is the clients struggle sometimes knowing exactly what that replacement cost would be of their facilities. So they're using and can use appraisals to come up with an accurate insurance valuation. If you go out and look on some of the valuation services that the banks maybe need for collateral, those times, many times those are addressing comparable facilities to them. They're looking at real estate values and not taking into account what does it take to rebuild a facility. Other times we'll find that clients will, they might buy a warehouse or an industrial facility for pennies on the dollar relative to what it would cost to build that facility because it's just going unused. In a softer market cycle, we were seeing carriers chasing business. They weren't looking or spending a lot of time on valuation. Those additional questions and deeper dives into values weren't necessarily as important to the carriers, because if it took a client a lot more work to get coverage from carrier A than it did from carrier B, more often than not, they would go with carrier B because it was an easier, the path of least resistance. Now, as the market's firming up and there's a much bigger focus on valuation for a variety of reasons, we're finding that the carriers are asking for, they're asking for detail, right? So the carriers are looking for a more correct or most correct way to value properties and asking clients for evidence of that.
So we talk a lot in this podcast about formal appraisals, right? So the actual formal appraisal from a third-party company. But what other options would a client have if they're looking to get valuations done for their locations?
Absolutely. There are definitely ways to come up with those replacement cost values. So the very most simple way is we rebuilt it recently, or we built that facility recently, so we know how much it costs. It's something that the clients on a recent build, so anytime in the last five-ish years, they might have a really good feel for what that facility costs to build. Other times we find that when you're looking at total values on a facility, there's actually far more value in equipment within the building than the building itself. So those equipment items are many times unique to the industry of the client, and those clients have a really good feel for what those values are or what it would cost to buy a replacement, because they're looking at changing lines around or readjusting how they do business with that equipment. So they have a really good feel for what that costs. One of the other things we see is just looking at other facilities that they've built that are similar. Right. So even if you have a client that has 10 locations that all do similar warehousing operations and one of them was built in the last 3 years, it's a pretty good measure for what it would cost to rebuild something very similar. You've got some regional cost differences, but for the most part, that gets you pretty close to a new build anywhere within your system. It's a homogeneous class.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure.
Do we hit value and book value, the difference there? We talk about that at all?
No, and that's one of the things that does come up quite a bit. So when we're talking with clients and trying to figure out what their values are, right? So we're asking the insurance contact to give us a replacement cost valuation. So cost to repair or replace the facility. A lot of times there's a real estate group or an accounting group or someone that's keeping track of those values. But sometimes when you're looking at that real estate group or the accounting group, they're showing a book value or a market value number, right? So you can look and see what it costs to sell that facility or what you could potentially sell it for as your market value, or you're looking at book value that's taking into account depreciation. And neither one of those things are going to be all that useful for an insurance replacement cost valuation, because we're looking at what it costs to repair or replace the facility, and you'd have to get rid of the depreciation, or you'd have to get that market value and pull it out of there. And one of the challenges with both of those is it really is challenging to come up with replacement costs if you start with book or market value.
So that makes sense. I mean, it's not necessarily your operational value and what you need to get it going again. Now, could I use inflation factors? Could you put those in there?
Yes. So there are inflation factors out there. FM produces both the winter and the summer. It's a twice a year an inflation index. That is probably the most commonly used inflation factor table. That is one that we see clients use. So if they have a replacement cost valuation from several years ago, they'll use that to bump up their values. We'll see clients that maybe built a facility in the early 2000s. So they know exactly what that cost was in 2002, and they'll use inflation factors over time. They're not going to be the most correct thing out there, right? So a formal appraisal would certainly be more correct, but the inflation factors absolutely do get used with frequency and are something that clients can get through renewals with.
So you raise a great point, and let's talk about some of the cons of a formal appraisal. Is there reasons why you see clients not go in the formal appraisal route?
Yeah, so they're looking at other ways to do this than a formal appraisal, and a lot of that comes down to the cost and time involved, right? So in order to get a formal appraisal completed on all your facilities, if you just have one location, that might not be that challenging. You know, one location maybe isn't all that expensive, just a couple days out of a year, and something that's manageable for clients that want to make sure that they're really sharp on values, right? Because they're buying limits to that facility. Very important to have that rate times value equation as accurate as possible for that single location, because you don't want to be underinsured or you don't want to be overinsuring something. As you get into larger schedules, so somebody with 10 or even 100 or more locations, putting formal appraisals for all those facilities takes a lot of time. So somebody internally, the client has to manage that process and get all of them scheduled, costs involved. There's a lot of time and expense in getting those values on there. And then one of the challenges on it is that the values in the marketplace, I would say, are probably low or lean low on average. So sometimes when clients do this, you might run into needing to increase your values your reported values, which does increase your total spend. That's one of the things that I think has been reasonably consistent within the marketplace over the soft market. So there's much less focus on values and getting values correct. And that led to things being underreported. We're just on a call last week, kind of a presentation from one of the market heads, and she mentioned that they feel values are something like 20% low across the industry. And when they put that math together, if all their clients were reporting values 100% correct, that's the difference between profitable and not profitable for them. So that focus during this hard market cycle is something that we're going to see carriers really put pressure on, because if it's undervalued, then they're not collecting the proper premium level that they believe should be charged for those facilities in the portfolio. So it's something that's, there's a lot of pressure on in values, and getting those right is very important. Appraisals get you the most correct answer, but there are some time and cost challenges there.
But yeah, that would certainly be a surprise if you suddenly found out that we were valued way less than than we thought we were and had a huge increase all of a sudden. Is there another way to go at it? I mean, you talked about the time involved with a formal appraisal, the computer-based evaluation, pros and cons, doing it that way?
Yeah, so doing an appraisal or getting really deep into the values on an industrial facility is pretty challenging because that facility most likely has been owned by the client or someone that they purchased for its whole life. It's probably very, very custom, not like anything else in the marketplace, so it's tough to compare it to anything. And usually it's pretty unique due to what that client process looks like in the facility. So those facilities are really challenging to look at some of the computer-based models on. But when you switch over to something like Class A office or frame hab apartments or senior living or even to a different degree hospitals, using the computer-based models to come up with values is something that we see carriers doing to use it. It's like a sniff test. So if you're sending in a garden variety apartments and you're valued at $70 a square foot, due to all the history they have and losses with that class and looking at some of those valuation softwares, they know that $70 a square foot is too low, and they're using that software to come up with a sniff test on your values. So we do see that more frequently in those homogeneous classes of business. Real estate really is the number one use there, especially in that frame hab space, because it's pretty consistent to come up with those values. The challenge is that it's very easy to manipulate that data. So all the inputs in, you know, kind of junk in, junk out. If you don't have everything absolutely correct going in, then your output's going to be off. And you can change that data going in, so you can take it from average to above average, and your cost per square foot's going to go up. Or your finishes, you know, if the outside of it's just a painted siding versus an ornate exterior, that cost is going to change pretty dramatically, and your miss factor could be large. So you could be off by a pretty good amount on a price per square foot basis. But a lot of times we just see the carriers using this to make sure that they're not undercharging dramatically for values.
So Zach, this has been great conversation. Let's circle it up. Let's finish it off with just a question, which I think the explanation would be great for listeners to hear. So hypothetically, what would happen, let's just say, if we have a loss that's $100 million, but the location is only valued at $50 million? What's that look like from a policy or procedural standpoint?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that during the softest market and with broader policy wording on a big program, you'd find that carriers could be exposed to that full $100 million loss, even though the statement of values had it at 50. There weren't anything limiting on the policy, any limiting wording or endorsements or exclusions. And we're finding that shrinking quite a bit. So as the language tightens and the market hardens, we're seeing coinsurance penalties, we're seeing occurrence limit of liability endorsements that are limiting that recovery to the reported values or some version of reported values on a margin clause type endorsement. And what that's doing is really protecting the carriers from a loss much larger than they expect to see. And then on the client side, really putting the onus on the client for coming up with correct values and making sure all of those values are correct, and our clients are putting forth the best effort in getting the values correct.
I don't know if you have anything else for Zach, but I think that that really circles things up for me. I think this has been a good listening opportunity for our clients or our listeners, and hopefully they take something from this. And once again, any questions, you know, they can always reach out to us.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. I appreciate it.
No problem, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Lucas, I think it was a good recording and just really good information. There was a couple of key things that I took away, you know, hardening market, right? This valuation becomes more important in this hardening market, where in the past, if I would have had a claim and maybe I was a little undervalued, it was okay. There was some wiggle room. Maybe I could make it up and the carrier might still cover me and make that up. But in the hardening market, the expectation is my property valuation is much closer valuation to what the actual value is if I want to be get compensated for that. And I think importantly, you know, we're looking at, you know, the continuation of your business. So is your valuation enough to restore you back to whole so you can continue your operations and your business? And Rick kind of talked about that too, that, you know, by about 40% of the time, people are significantly undervalued as they go out there to purchase insurance. So I think those are some key things. I think also, you know, Zach really told us you have a couple options to do this. You don't have to do a formal appraisal, but at the same time, are you qualified to do your appraisal? You know, sleeping at a Holiday Inn the night before probably doesn't qualify you. So you want to have some experience and knowledge and a little bit of thinking before you go into that. And then I think the other piece Zach really kind of hit on too is how complicated is your business and what you're producing, so you can actually find a true valuation of the property inside as well as the building itself versus something that might be a standard industry. Any other thoughts from you, Lucas?
No, I think you summed it up well. We saw two good sides, you know, Rick coming in talking about the formal appraisal side, Zach kind of talking about all the other options from an insurance standpoint. So I think this was great conversation, and I'm just very appreciative that both of them came on and spoke with us today.
Yeah, great show. And again, if anybody's got questions, you know, please reach out to your Lockton contact or reach out to Rick and try to get you helped out.
All right. Another good one.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday Risk. We look forward to talking to you again soon.